It is Bob Weeks, host of Golf Talk Canada, which you can catch at 10 o'clock this morning. Good morning, Bob. Thank you so much for joining the show today.
Good to be here with you, Matt.
What about
so
me?
So, Bob, me and...
Yeah,
he doesn't care about you, Carlo.
Both you guys. I love you both. I love you both just the same.
Thanks, Bob.
Oh, that's well. Later on, at the end of this interview, who does Bob Weeks love 51%, and who does Bob Weeks love 49%? Myself or Carlo Colaiacovo? We will discuss that. By the way, this is First Up. I'm Matt Cause in for Aaron Korolnik. So, Bob, please tell me there is real controversy going on, conspiracy theories that if it was, say, a Rory McIlroy that had happened to him, what happened to Cam Smith, who got a 2-stroke penalty on Saturday that wasn't announced until like Sunday morning, maybe the PGA looks the other way. True or false, this conspiracy deserves a lot of attention.
I suppose you could go down that road. I think that there's enough quality guys on that PGA Tour group of officials. I know some of them that are, they would just kind of try to call it the best they could, depending on, regardless of who it was in there. But certainly it does raise the eyebrow, doesn't it, when you have this guy in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just, I mean, just the whole crux of this thing, like a day later, before the guy's about to tee off, all of a sudden he gets a 2-stroke penalty. In terms of like how what's the statute of limitations on a rule infraction, right? I think it should be if the next round is started, then too bad, you missed it, and you can't go back. It's like going back into a baseball game and saying, well, that should have been a called third strike there on that pitch in the right. Third inning or something. It's just, it doesn't make any sense whether it's Cam Smith or anybody at that point, but I'm sure there's lots of eyebrows raised about the fact that it was Cam Smith.
Oh, for sure it is. Could you imagine the PGA Tour sitting in that office the next Sunday morning and saying, oh my God, Cam Smith might win this tournament, take the money, and then run to the LIV Tour. We can't have this happen on the PGA. We need to find a way to penalize this guy. And Bob, I'm telling you right now, I don't know how you feel about the rule that they called him on. It is the most outrageously stupid rule I've ever heard of. I mean, you're talking about penalizing a guy that has a ball on a painted line on the grass? Like, the guy's already got a stroke penalty for going into the water. Why are you penalizing him again?
No, nobody ever said the rules of golf were easy to understand or logical. There's a lot of gray area in there.
Do you not agree it's a stupid rule?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think you're talking about a ridiculous space of, 2 inches, 3 inches? I don't think it had any outcome or any effect on what his next shot was.
Right.
You know, if it's an inch closer or an inch further away, is it going to make a difference? I don't think so. And I think that the fact that it was another official from a different tour who just happened to be watching the highlights, who saw that, who called back in and called it. And the other group, the other officials had already said, well, you know, we saw it and we believe that that he was free and clear. So I don't know how they changed their mind late in the game, but it certainly does seem a little bit strange that they would. You know, if this, let's say this guy who was watching it at home happened to go out for a beer or something with his buddies and didn't catch it. Now this thing sails through. I mean, there's all sorts of different permutations in my head, running through my head as to how this could come out and how it couldn't come out and how it could change. But just because one guy sitting in a hotel room somewhere else saw it, Cam Smith gets a 2-shot penalty.
It's such a phenomenon only in golf. The golf snitches. You don't see that in any other sport. I wonder, and Bob, getting just to, again, the idea of the timing, and you mentioned statute of limitations. What about, like, from the betting community? Because certainly Twitter account, that was being brought up, that a lot of people were betting on Cam Smith after Saturday's round was completed.
Even early Sunday morning, people were betting on him, Matt.
And then suddenly, nope, 2-stroke penalty. I mean, that would have a massive impact on the odds. I wonder if the PGA will start to change the rules, because there's now more money and more revenue streams coming in from now legalized sports betting.
You know, I hadn't thought of that this morning, but you're absolutely correct. And the PGA Tour does have relationships with a number of companies that are in that game. So you'd have to think that they would start to sort of put down a little bit firmer rules just because of that. And again, is it really changing things? Is it really, you know, is that drop that he took being seen by somebody in an office? It just seems so bizarre that it upsets the whole party. And even just for Cam Smith preparing to come in that day, okay, I got a two shots I got to make up. Now all of a sudden it's 4 shots. Well, that changes your whole game plan, right?
No kidding.
You know, everything goes through your mind about well, does it upset him that he's teeing off in an hour and finds out he's got a penalty? And I don't know. There's lots and lots of things, but that gambling one is a huge one for sure.
Well, Bob, yeah. Let's talk about the winner of the tournament, and that's Will Zalatoris, winning his first tournament on the PGA Tour, doing it in dramatic fashion. Do you feel more happy for Will Zalatoris winning, or do you feel more sad that Sepp Straka really let an, a massive opportunity get away from him?
Yeah, I think it's nice to see Will Zalatoris finally get that first victory. I mean, there's a guy who has been knocking on the door. He's been close, so close in major championships, lost a playoff at the PGA to Justin Thomas. This is his third playoff of the year,
Yeah. And
finally gets one done. So I sort of think that this is a guy who was due to win. Sepp Straka is a big player. He won earlier this year at the Honda, I believe. But he did let one sort of slip away, I think, down the stretch a little bit. But maybe, you know, that's what happens with golf. And, boy, look at that break that Will Zalatoris gets with his ball.
How did that stay on? Like, it bounced six times on the rock.
It is unbelievable how that happens. Sometimes you get the bounces and sometimes you don't. And, boy, that was sure a time that it got him. And then, you know, followed up by Straka knocking it into the water. So,
yeah, like Straka, the guy's in the, like, he's flirting with hazard. Just put one in the middle of the green. Why is he going pin hunting on that? I never understood that strategy.
No, both those guys said that they got fooled by the wind. It was supposed to be sort of a crosswind, and instead it was a into their face wind, they said afterwards. So they got hung up. But if I was Will Zalatoris, I would have made, or sorry, if I was Sepp Straka, after seeing what happened to Zalatoris, I would have made sure I was not short and in that water. That's the only mistake you could really make there. But it's good for Zalatoris to get that win. I think a lot of people had pegged him or Cam Young as the best player without a victory on the PGA Tour. And it's amazing how far he's come. A friend of mine sent me a note that said 4 years ago this week, Zalatoris and Scottie Scheffler were a Monday qualifying for Korn Ferry tournament.
Wow.
And missing it. And there's number one in the world and now the latest winner of the FedEx Cup playoff event.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's a great perspective. We're joined by Bob Weeks. Again, Golf Talk Canada, 10 o'clock right here on TSN 1050. So, Bob, before I let you go, does it just take time for everyone to fully understand all the machinations of the FedEx Cup playoffs? Because, you know what, I feel like we talked about this last year. As a sports fan, you have to love the idea. It goes from the top 125. Boom, we knock it down to the top 70 next week. Boom, we knock it down to the top 30 for the season-ending tour championship. This is designed for sports fans with the stakes, all this money. Does it just come down to the fact that as a sports fan, we gravitate more towards history than we do to how much prize money is available?
I think so. These guys know what they're playing for. They know how much money they're playing for, but they're not thinking about that when they're on the golf course. And you have so many things, as you said, so many ups and downs. Lucas Glover went from 123rd, I think, on the FedEx Cup list into the top 35, I think, now after coming in with a tie for third yesterday. So, I mean, there's all sorts of long shots that can come in. There are predictable ones that come in. But I think when you get to that final and they've got the staggered start, the leader tees off at 10 under and then it goes all the way down. It feels like a handicap event, but it is very much easier to follow what's going on. And I think that's the money is big. Sure, the money's huge. You know, the winner's going to get an $18 million bonus. But
wow.
I just don't think that the guys are on the golf course thinking about that. They do think about it, I'm sure, when they're getting maybe, having dinner the night before or things like that. But it's as opposed to the sort of money that's being offered at LIV, and nothing wrong with those guys. But this is more about winning and beating your fellow players, I think. And being known as the FedEx Cup champion, I think there's something to that now, which you probably couldn't have said say, as recently as 5 or 10 years ago.
Bob, always appreciate. We'll be listening at 10 o'clock this morning. Again, just so much to talk about in the PGA and the golf world. Thanks for joining the show today.
Take care, guys.